Good morning, everyone, and I welcome you here in Jesus' name. And I want to welcome our visitors that are here. We're glad you're here. And Brother Tim's back with us from Florida. It's good to see you. I've had different things going through my mind, and I thought about this morning. I should have preached painted a wedding sermon or something, but I thought about it too late, so. Different things going through my mind recently, and inspiration I got from others, the thoughts and blessings I received from others, and one of them, Vernon's devotions last Sunday really blessed me about digging in to God's Word and spending the time and energy to connect with God. Ecclesiastes 9, I'll read that. I'll read the whole chapter, Ecclesiastes 9. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepts thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemeth great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. So this chapter talks about life, and I don't know how it is for y'all, but for me, every once in a while, not real often, but sometimes I get to wondering what is the purpose in life. Sometimes life can be discouraging, and we wonder what it's all about. We're here for a little and then on to eternity. And it's easy to think that eternity is in the future, but eternity already is. And God put us here for His purpose in this space in eternity. And it's not always going to make sense. But like Ernie said in his message last Sunday, the thought I got from what he was saying was, do what good you can for those you can. Don't see all that needs done and give up. If you just help one person to heaven, that's worth a lot. So I said I had several different thoughts. My next thought, hopefully it all runs together. Y'all may have to put it together, but... So I want to talk about, we talk about the devil some, but this morning I want to refer to him as what I think is a worse name, and that is Satan. And Satan should bring fear to our heart, because Satan is nothing to reckon with. And next to God, we are no match for Satan. Without God's help, we have nothing that we can fight the devil with. It says that Satan is the father of lies, and I would say he's the father of distraction too. He has this sugar-coated poison that he distracts people with, and we're no match for Satan without God. Satanic power is nothing to take lightly. But praise God, in John 12, verse 31, it says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And we know in Mark 1, verses 12 and 13, when Jesus was tempted by Satan for 40 days, the angels ministered unto Jesus, and Satan had no power over Jesus, proving to us that we can live above sin and defeat Satan. Satan knows that his time is running out. He knows that hell awaits him. Revelations 20, verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So Satan is desperate for us to turn away from God. He knows time is running out. In the 50s and 60s, 1950s and 60s, rock music drove people away from God. And I wasn't around when it came in, and I never was really told, or maybe I was told and wasn't listening. But rock music actually came straight from Satan himself. Rock stars, literally, in their own words, said that they sold their soul to Satan for success in their music. And different of the music stars, they had songs that would just come to them in waves. They didn't even have to write them down. They just came to them, and that would have been straight from Satan himself. And so... you know what music did, the rock music did to society. In 1940, the biggest problem in high school, was chewing gum, throwing wrappers around, and missing the trash can with trash. That was their problem. 40 years later, in 1980, same age people in school, the number one problem was murder and theft, rape, and all these things 40 years later. And I would say you could credit the rock music and that whole the beat of the music moved people and opened their minds to the idea of you do whatever you want. And it brought rebellion, drug use, and moral decay among teenagers all over. Satan distracted them with music. And I don't know that they really realized what was happening until it was too late. You know, Satan serves up some good music and then he switches it to bad. And he's good at what he does. Today, people listen to and have Christian rock concerts and mega churches, up to 40 plus thousand people attendance. And we know that Satan and God don't hold hands. I would say very possibly there is some Christians in them churches. I'm not here to judge them. But Satan has sugarcoated his poison and people are eating it. So is the music I listen to helping me worship God and drawing my mind to God? And we would be wrong to say that Satan doesn't want to interfere in the music we listen to at our places. And it might surprise you, I got a lot of this information hearing a man talk, and he's not a Mennonite either. He's actually a Seventh Adventist. I feel like he's very likely a Christian. I'm not going to advise you to necessarily go to his church, but he would actually feel like some of the songs that me and you listen to are sung in the wrong way, and actually the devil is there working in our music. Now, I'm not here. Usually when a preacher starts talking about music, I get, my radar goes up, because we don't want to hear about what music to listen to. But music can affect us. It can affect us in a good way. But Satan has used music to turn many people away from right. So I'm quick to think or say without question that rock music is poison to the soul. You know, I can say that real quick. I was in a store maybe a year and a half ago with Jackson, and we was walking up to the counter to check out, and there was some beer for sale right there by the counter in a cooler. And Jackson didn't know what it was. He thought it was Coke or something. And he asked about it, and the man checking out at the desk there, right there in front of us, I never seen the man, he turned around and he said, "That is poison." And he said it like he meant it. And he was there buying cigarettes. So I was like, you know. But no doubt this man had seen the terrible effects of too much alcohol. And I don't know why he said that for sure, but he probably very likely had seen the devastating effects of alcohol. Alcohol has ruined many people's lives. And I could show you an obituary, a picture of a man. I didn't know him. I knew his brother. I know his brother. He was born into a wealthy family. By inheritance, was worth millions. And he died April of this year, age 47. He was an alcoholic, and alcohol poisoned him. But I could also find you somebody and had devastating effects from cigarette smoke that ruined them. So what my point is, what sugar-coated poison of Satan's could I be taking? And it's been interesting to me over the last year or more that in our Wednesday evening small group studies, a lot of times we talk about money and finances. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. And it's a concern that God's people have. We see, like, I think God's Spirit is speaking to his people about what money does. And how much do I think about money and things that money buy? And by the way, Jason Gingrich preached a sermon in Florida here a while back on stewardship, on being a steward. And I listened to it one time when I was staying at home when Jackson was sick and waiting on the sermon here or something. Anyway, I listened to it, so you should listen to it. It's pretty good. He has a sermon on being a steward. Maybe I do good things with my spare money, but am constantly thinking of how I can make more, because it's usually there to make if you want to bad enough. You know, we're all busy. There's always more work than we can do. And I feel like I have been distracted with work and money too much. So have I been taking some of Satan's sugar-coated poison? He makes it look so good. He makes it look attractive. And we might say it is good. It is good to be busy, and it is. It is good to be busy, and we need to work. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. We have to have money to get by in life. But I know what money and things can do to me. I feel the danger in my life, and I think Satan knows all about it. You know, I give God the credit for what I have, and yet at the same time, it's easy for pride, which God hates, to creep in. Satan wants us to be proud. He wants us to do anything against God. In Deuteronomy 17, I'll read verse 16 and 17. Deuteronomy 17, verses 16 and 17. And this was some of the guidelines for Israel's king. Verse 16, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall not henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And I thought that was interesting, the requirements for the king. He was not to multiply wealth to himself. In the book of Ezra, 70 years after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and took the Jews away to Babylon, King Cyrus of Persia allowed many groups of exiles, including the Jews, to return to their home, to their homelands. And Persian records indicate many of the Jews in captivity accumulated a lot of wealth, something that they were allowed to do. And this resulted in only a small part of God's people returning to their homeland. They didn't want to give up the wealth and security. And it referenced Mark 4, verse 18 and 19. Mark 4, verse 18, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So I can stand here and tell you today that it's the love of money that's evil, and that's right. But I can't tell you that lots of money isn't dangerous. And if Satan can't poison you or distract you with music or alcohol, he may try wealth. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 9 through 14. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept from the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. About a year, I'm not sure how long ago it was, at least a year, I think, ago, Joe preached on being addicted to our phones. And it's another valuable resource that the devil can use to distract us. Studies on what it does to us would say that it actually, the constant attraction, like our brains are constantly waiting to hear the next message come in, distracting us. Studies, not Christian studies, but studies would say that this is actually overworking our brain. Phones are overworking our brains. And that we don't feel it, we don't feel the same, but that our brains are actually somewhat getting a little bit fried like they do on drugs because it's overloading them. And there's a day of reckoning coming, is what some would say. Now, you may or may not agree with that. I'm just repeating a study that I had heard of. I can tell you my phone has took valuable time away from my family. And my good phone, my phone that has lots of good things on it, my phone that don't have a back page to the book. There is no end to what you can look at. So what should we do? Quit working? Make sure we're poor and needy? Throw our phones in the lake? Because when I think about what Satan has accomplished with some of these good things, it about makes me feel like throwing them in the lake, to be honest with you. If you know, it can get you pretty upset with what has actually happened to us. And I'm talking to myself. I see this in myself. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 through 20. How do we interpret this? These verses I'm fixing to read. How do we integrate that into our life, and how do we apply that to our life? Behold that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and drink, and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For it is his portion, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God, for he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answered him in the joy of his heart. So how do we make sense of all that? It's all in the Bible. It tells us in Proverbs about doing money right. You do money wrong and you're going to come up short. And so there's a right way to do money and there's a wrong way. But the good news is that if we're seeking God with our whole heart, His Spirit will lead us and speak to us. A man or woman following God will recognize the sugar-coated poison Satan has to offer. And I want to end today with reminding us that Jesus is coming back. I listened to a message recently on the prophetic timeline of the end times and how we're living in the last days. You know, we're not on God's time schedule, so we don't know. And you know, if you're like me, you're like, well, you know, a lot of people have said this is the end times, and we could be living in the end times, and it may not happen for another 300 years. And it may not, I don't know. But with the change and pace that evil has spread through the world, Satan is running out of time, and we are too, to make a difference for those we can. Jesus is coming back, Revelations 22, verse 12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Let's stand for prayer.